A lot is going on during this most wonderful time of year. In particular, because we are celebrating the birth of Jesus, our Savior, his advent, his arrival into our world. And so we are so glad and thrilled that you have chosen to spend this hour with us this evening, before dinner, before your family gatherings and the parties to come. I wanted to share just a very brief message from Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to read just a few verses. Verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to skip down to verses 16 to 17. And hang in there with me as we go through this. It may not be the most moving, exciting verses that you've ever encountered, but hang in there with me. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Minadab, Minadab, the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. The rest of the passage is very important, but for the sake of time, we'll skip down to verses 16 and 17. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to Christ, the Christ, 14 generations. When we think about the Christmas story, we think about the manger scene, this cherubic, angelic scene that's transfixed in our minds. We would be remiss if we think that that is just the beginning of the story of Jesus. When in fact, for us to fully celebrate and appreciate Jesus this Christmas, we have to go back centuries and centuries and centuries to the beginning of the Old Testament, to the beginning of time, to fully appreciate who Jesus really is. And so, this evening we have looked at very briefly the family tree of Jesus Christ. This would not be the passage you typically would read to your children. This would probably be not the passage that you would ever read in your life unless you have to for some reason. Even I had trouble with some of the names trying to pronounce them correctly. But to understand someone, you have to know their history. You have to know their family. You have to know their story. Just like in your lives, just like in mine, just like in Jesus Christ. In our culture today, that I believe, though technologically very advanced, we live in a very isolated and very disconnected time, culture, and world. And people are very hungry to find some kind of roots, something to hold them down to a larger story of which their micro story of their lives fits in. Websites like Ancestry.com are booming. And their little advertisement, if you look up on the screen, we'll put it up there for you, with precise geographic detail and clear-cut historical insights, we connect you to the places in the world where your story started, from unique regions to living relatives. But notice that phrase that really catches people's curiosity and imaginations, where your story started. My wife complains to me all the time because I love to veg out in front of the TV and watch reruns after reruns of old movies. Not too old, but kind of 2000s, 90s, maybe 80s. She doesn't understand, why would you watch that for the 12th time over and over again? I don't know if it's a guy thing or it's just a me thing, but I do love watching movies and reruns, especially if they're good. In the 2000 movie Hitch, starring Will Smith and Eva Mendes playing Sarah Milas, don't ask me how many times I've seen this rom-com, okay? I'll be a little bit embarrassed. He sets up this amazing first date, Hitch does, the character that Will Smith plays. And he has the guard at Ellis Island dig up some historic records of when Sarah Milas's ancestors came over. And she said, you can't really know where you're going until you know where you've been. And the transcript goes something like this. Oh my God. Normally I would say, oh my gosh, but I'm just reading what the story says. All right, kids? Pastor said, oh, God's name in vain. All right. Oh my God. That's my great, great grandfather. That's his signature. Right there. How did you know? And then that initial surprise and shock turns to horror and terror and anger as she sobs hysterically and runs out of that building. Do you guys remember? Did anyone see this movie? Do you remember that? And he said, that's not how I pictured it to go. It turned out that that particular relative had a very shady past, the butcher of Cadiz. Will Smith, I thought it was a profession, not a headline. And notice what she says here. It's just one of those horrible family legacies we've all tried to forget. All of us, whether we go back to many generations, the generation before us, or our present generation, can relate to this. You don't have to have some kind of scandalous, villainous character in your family tree or ancestry or in your own immediate family to understand what we are trying to talk about. Something dark. Something painful, something in your family's history or your present life or circumstances that you wish wasn't part of your history, that you wish you could just erase and obliterate it, that it would, like it never happened. This is what we are talking about. Something that you look at and say, this doesn't fit. I wish it was never part of my story or my family's story. This is Matthew chapter 1. We see Jesus's shocking family tree. Why would the gospel writers, who you would think, especially in our culture today, you want to magnify someone, you want to glorify them, you would cut out every single bad, negative detail and only keep the good stuff, just like we do in history often, right? But here in Matthew chapter 1, in the verses that we just read, and the other verses that we did not have time to read, we see a most shocking family tree of individuals, circumstances, and events that if we really were to put a magnifying glass on, we would be shocked and say, why in the world is that there? There are five women included in this list, in this passage. That alone is shocking and scandalous because during this time in history, you would always trace your lineage only through men. But for some reason, God wanted this family, shocking family tree, to be preserved in all its entirety. You have Ruth from the people called the Moabites, outsiders of the covenant. Why would she be in there? You have Tamar, who deceived her own father-in-law and conceived twins by him. Kids, if you don't understand that, talk to your parents. We have Rahab, who made her living through illegitimate means. Talk to your parents about that again as well. And Bathsheba. Think about it. Talking about a shocking family history, here we have it all. It's not just the women. Verse 9, King Ahaz was so wicked and evil, he even sacrificed his own children and led the people of God astray. Manasseh, verse 10. Verse 12, Jeconiah, known as Jehoiachin. So wicked, idolatrous, that in the book of Isaiah and in 2 Kings and Jeremiah 22:30, that his family line would be utterly cursed because of the darkness that he brought into his family line and to the nation of Israel. David was not all that great. Solomon wasn't that great either. As you explore the story of the Savior Jesus, let us not just start in the manger in this true big scene of Mary and Joseph and the animals gazing lovingly at Jesus. But to understand him, we need the bigger story. And so four things that I would like to share as you study these opening genealogies of Jesus. His family was made up of four different kinds of people. The social and religious outcasts who knew they were far from God. They didn't deserve to be near him. And yet, here they are. The foreigner, secondly, the stranger, the immigrant. Here we have this kind of person in the storyline of Jesus. Thirdly, we have the broken, we have the misfit, we have the forgotten. And we have those with incredible failures in their lives, those that were unfaithful, did not live up to how God wanted them to live, and the utterly shameful. This is what we discover in the very first chapter of Matthew's gospel in this genealogy, the family tree of Jesus. All of us want our families, our stories, to look something like this that we could put on Pinterest and Instagram it. But in reality, as you look at your own life and your own family story, it actually looks more like this familiar saying, I shook my family tree and a bunch of nuts fell out. And you are one of those nuts, are you not? And so thinking about these things, this is what I want to leave you with as we celebrate Christmas. A couple things. Who is the Jesus of Christmas? We have to fight with culture and what our own heart's desires want to remake Jesus in, especially this baby Jesus. Three things and I'll end. When you look at Jesus' family, when you look at his ancestors, though of course he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, yes, but you trace Joseph's family line and Mary's, we see all the mess. We see all the nuttiness. We see the undesirables. We see darkness. Jesus came into this world to first of all fully identify with us. We look at Jesus' pedigree, his genealogy, his wider family. And we see the mess. We see the misfits. We see the darkness. And we look at our own lives, we look at our own family stories, and we can say, I see my own story and my own family in that family. And that is why Jesus came into this world, in order that he could represent us in all our mess, in all our dysfunctions, in all the broken dreams. Look at his greater family story. That is our family story, is it not, if we're honest with ourselves? We see ourselves and our funny, tragic family in circumstances, our stories of mess in his. Not his own, he was without sin. But here we see the family to which he is connected with. Matthew writes it so that we can make sure that we can identify with him. Secondly, when you think about this greater family, Jesus can redeem any of our stories, no matter what. No matter what. Look at some of the people that we just took a few moments to look at briefly in the greater family of Jesus. And to think that out of that mess, out of those misfits, out of those outsiders, the excluded, the broken, the disobedient, that darkness, here comes Jesus. Jesus indeed can redeem any of us as he embraces our mess, our loss, our misgivings into his very own. Matthew's story shows us the greater picture of the gospel. It is indeed the triumph of God's grace. Thirdly and finally, we see, as we think about the greater family that Jesus came from, traced in these genealogies, Jesus is truly Savior of all. He is truly Savior of all. If he can redeem the mess of these Israelites and the stories that we have briefly touched upon tonight, when we come to know him and trust him and love him and receive him, this gift from heaven above, the Son of the living God, he indeed can be your Savior and mine. The story of the gospel and the understanding of what and who is the Jesus of Christmas is one that we understand that Jesus truly is the Savior of all. And so as you think about the story of your lives, and as we think about our greater family stories, the good, bad, and ugly, know that as Jesus was sent into our world, that we look at the greater family of Christ found in these genealogies, and we can say, he can understand. I could see my problems and pain in his ancestors, his family, his disciples as well. He indeed is the Savior of us all. Teacher J.I. Packer says this: God became man. The divine Son became a Jew. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child, the babyhood of the Son of God was a reality. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as is this truth of the story of incarnation. None of our lives, stories, are beyond found in Jesus Christ. May we turn to him. May we embrace him. And like the heavenly host declare in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom his favor rests. He indeed is the Savior of the world. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we on this Christmas Eve take a few minutes to ponder the greatest miracle of all, the entrance of God himself into our world by the sending of your own Son. He who indeed was without sin became sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We thank you, Lord, that you remind us in even your greater story in the people of Israel and beyond, of all the brokenness, the darkness, the pain. We thank you that in so many ways, your family line is really no different than ours. And because of that, Lord, we can come before you knowing that you can do amazing things in our lives through your power of grace and forgiveness. We thank you that no life is beyond your power to transform, to forgive, and redeem. We pray today, Lord, as we come before you, as we come to know who you are as our Savior. We worship you this Christmas Eve. We thank you that indeed you are one who has come to identify with us. And we pray, Lord, as we turn our eyes back to you, indeed, we would once again behold the one who is indeed the Savior of the world. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We do pray. Amen.